Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He has a mind of his own. I imagine those are words that at least you have heard, perhaps you've also spoken yourself. And maybe sometimes when you've heard or spoken those words were used to compliment someone for their ability to think on their own and not to rely on the thinking or ideas of other people. But probably more often, that phrase is used as an expression of exasperation, frustration at the stubborn determination of someone else to do their own thing, no matter how foolish or how ill-fated that might end up being. Now, some of that kind of not so good having a mind of their own was going on among the believers in the young Christian church in the northern Greek city, the Macedonian city of Philippi. Apparently, there were some people within that congregation of believers whose ambition for prominence and prestige among their brothers and sisters in Christ was threatening to destroy the unity of their fellowship as believers. And that same problem, of course, is still with us today, because all of us still have the sinful nature living within us, within our hearts. That same self-serving spirit and attitude seeks and threatens to disrupt the unity of the fellowship of believers in every age of the church's history. And so that's why the Apostle Paul's plea in today's epistle is so timeless, so timely for us today. Wherever pride or arrogance appear, Paul points us to the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and he urges us in verse 5 to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to explain to us exactly what that mindset of Jesus was, the mindset that prompted him to make himself nothing, and even to suffer the ultimate humiliation of death on the cross. And all of that for you and for me. Verse 7 says, he made himself nothing. And now the truth that one short phrase encapsulates and expresses is simply incredible when we stop and think about everything that it implies. I think it's probably almost impossible for us to fully grasp the utter incredibility of everything that Jesus did by making himself nothing. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the almighty creator and ruler of the whole universe. All the glory and the power and majesty of God belongs to him in full because he is true God. And yet, he willingly set aside the full use of that power and glory. He left, again, willingly left the timelessness of eternity and heaven, and he subjected himself to time and to the limitations of space and of all the other the laws of physics and of nature of this world that he created. He willingly took on human body and human soul. He willingly allowed himself to be confined to his mother's womb for 9 months and then born as a helpless baby, totally physically reliant on his mother and his adoptive father for all physical care and protection. And then growing up and living among sinful people in this sin-filled world, and yet all the while retaining his divinity, his status as the true Son of God, all so that he could be the perfect substitute for us, obeying God's law perfectly to in every instance, all throughout his life, not just outwardly, but also inwardly, in his attitudes, in the desires of his heart, and then ultimately by dying on the cross, the death that we deserved because of our sins. So as we stop and think about all that, it sounds incredible, it sounds unbelievable that he would be willing to give up all of that glory, and power, and majesty that belonged to him, and to humble himself. But he willingly did just that. He did that out of love for for each one of us in order to accomplish our eternal salvation. As the Apostle Paul writes in verse 6 of our reading, although Jesus is true God, he is co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in glory and majesty and power, yet he didn't hold on to that as something to be used for his own advantage when he became a true human being and lived on this earth. He didn't insist on retaining his legal rights and insist on having everyone bow down and serve him and for everything to be done in order for his convenience and for his pleasure and enjoyment and entertainment. He didn't insist on having his own status and authority recognized and on having everyone bow down and praise him wherever he went. He didn't insist on having his equality with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit recognized. No, although he had a crown, the crown as the king of the whole universe, yet he willingly traded it for the cross, for humiliation, for suffering, and death. He made himself nothing. That is truly incredible. And it was real. It's not just as if Jesus simply changed his appearance and appeared or looked like a human being, but that he wasn't really a human being. It's not like those stories you may have heard about where a king or a princess disguises themselves as a common person and goes out to mingle among the common people to see how the common people live and think. Jesus didn't simply come in human shape. No, he really and truly became fully human. To do that, he made himself nothing. He willingly gave up the full use of his power and glory as God. Now, of course, again, that doesn't mean that he stopped being God, nor does it mean that he relinquished all of his power and glory as God. No, that power was still there, and we see that manifested many times throughout the 3 years or so of his public ministry in those amazing miracles that he did to display his power, to show who he truly is as the eternal Son of God. But while we see that Jesus did sometimes use his divine power on occasion, we see also that he only used it for the benefit of other people, not for his own benefit. He denied himself the benefit of that power that was his, so that he might be truly subject to all of the limitations of our humanity, including death itself. And so as we see Jesus in anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he would very soon be betrayed and put on trial, and then just hours later on the next day that he would be crucified, he was praying in anguish to the point where his sweat fell like great drops of blood. And then on the cross, when his hands and feet were nailed to the wood of the cross with a crown of thorns on his head after he had been viciously beaten and flogged by those Roman soldiers, that agony, and it's especially not just the physical agony and excruciating pain, but the great spiritual agony of being forsaken by God the Father because of our sins that he was bearing. All of that was real agony, agony of soul, physical agony. It wasn't simply play acting because he only appeared to be a human being. No, that was... it was all too real. Jesus did it for each one of us. And that really is the great wonder of Palm Sunday and of Holy Week, that Jesus did all of that for us. He made himself nothing. He became fully human because his love for us simply couldn't just leave us to the fate that we deserve for our sins, the eternal suffering of hell. And so he stepped in to take our place. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He endured the punishment that our sins have earned. And he overcame the death that we deserve. So that's why in our gospel reading today, we see Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem, riding on a humble donkey into the city of Jerusalem, right into the arms of of what he knew would soon come a few days later, of arrest, of unjust trial and conviction, of beating and scourging and mocking, and ultimately crucifixion and death. All of that scorn, the shame, the inhuman suffering, the agonies of hell itself as he hung there on the cross, suffering that total abandonment by God the Father because of our sins, all of that he endured deliberately and willingly for you and for me. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Jesus gave his life in payment for our sin. He did it all for us. And we see that God the Father put his stamp and seal of approval on that work of Jesus. On the third day, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to the highest place. He exalted him forever. When we see that ultimately when he raised Jesus up into the clouds and received him back into heaven, when he crowned him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that as we read in verses 10 and 11 of our reading, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So now let's go back to the beginning of our reading here in Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says in verse 5, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." God spoke through his Apostle Paul just the exact words that he wanted Paul to write and to write to those Christians in Philippi and to all Christians of all time, including us today. He knows that he is talking to people, you and me, who have a mind of our own. And as we mentioned in the church in Philippi, it seems that there was dissension among the believers. And tragically, we also see in the words of Paul's letter that gave also the opportunity for false teachers to come in and to sow further division and discord among the believers in that church. And we see tragically also that spirit of dissension lives on today among believers. Satan uses our pride to tempt each one of us, flattering our egos. And so that threat of discord and disunity is just as real for the church today as it was for those believers in the city of Philippi at Paul's day. To us, therefore, just as to all those saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, the Apostle Paul says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." And so what is there about that mindset of Jesus that we are to take into our own faith and life? Well, especially we see that emphasis on humility. Now, humility doesn't mean that we go around parading around, flagellating ourselves, beating ourselves, either literally, physically, or metaphorically, to prove what despicable creatures we are, what worthless people we are. No, humility, true humility, is not a denial of our worth. After all, we know God assures us that in his eyes we have great worth to him. And the cross of Jesus is incontrovertible proof of our worth to God. Look at the price that God was willing to pay for our salvation, for our forgiveness, giving up his own son to death in order to save us for eternal life with him. So we see that we have ultimate worth, worth to God that simply can't be measured because he gave up his own son to save us. And through his son, he made us his own sons and daughters. He adopted us into his family, and he showers his love upon us. He gives us that priceless inheritance of eternal life with him in heaven. And so through all that, we know that we have a dignity, a nobility, a worth that no one can take away from us. because God himself has given it to us through his own son, Jesus. And so we see in that context that the humility that the Apostle Paul exhorts us to have is not a denial of our essential worth, our worth to God. Rather, humility means having an honest assessment of our own strengths and weaknesses, knowing above all else how dependent we are on God and how indebted we are to God for every grace and blessing, for every strength that we have, for every ability, capability that we have. It's all from God and to his glory. And so humility is simply an attitude of the heart and the mind, both towards God and towards other people. Humility includes the readiness to consider other people ahead of ourselves, the determination to put a stranglehold on our pride and to daily suppress our pride within us, to say no to our egos and to get rid of the me-first complex that we so easily slip into because of our self-centered, sinful nature. It means that we stop measuring everything and every situation by asking the question, what's in it for me? And instead, we learn to ask, what effect will this have on other people? And how can I help other people? How does this fit in with the mindset Christ Jesus? Jesus made himself nothing, and he humbled himself to the point of suffering that most humiliating and excruciating death on the cross. Are you prepared to do the same? Now, certainly not that you are able to save the soul of anyone else by anything that you do, but like Jesus, are you willing to empty yourself of your pride and to put your ego to the side, so that you might see and respond to the needs of others? In the verses just before our reading in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility consider one another better than yourselves. Let each of you look carefully not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Have this same mindset in your family relationships, on the job, in the classroom, toward everyone with whom you live and work and play. Live by the law of love. Have the mindset of humility. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Humble yourselves under God's powerful hand so that he may lift you up at the appointed time." And he will do just that. He will lift you up. Just as surely as he has exalted his own son after Jesus' time of utter humiliation, when God the Father raised him from the dead and gave him the name that is above every name in the heights of heaven. This is God's promise to all who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.